First of all, let me say thank you very much for the opportunity I have to come and speak the gospel to you. I really appreciate the opportunity. It is very humbling. It is a responsibility. And we hope that after tonight, you can say that it was good to be here. I would also like to say that as I look around, I see a lot of friends, a lot of family, some that have known me since I was a little kid. And one of the things I always hear is, well, I remember you when you were a little kid. And I tell them, just stop right there so you don't need to say anything else about that because they can probably tell some stories about me. Right, Steve? There you go. We're going to talk tonight about how to beat a bully. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. And that is where we will be for the gist of our study this evening in the book of 1 Samuel. And I will tell you that one of the unfortunate realities of life, if you will, one of the unfortunate realities of living in this world is the existence of bullies. There are some people, and we all know who they are in our lives, we know who they are, who clearly enjoy controlling, even hurting other people around them. And I will also tell you that bullying is not a new phenomenon. This is not anything that is new. It is something that has existed since the beginning of time. While bullying isn't a new phenomenon, it is a major problem. Let me give you some examples. Children, we know, certainly deal with bullies every day at school, and I have had the unfortunate pleasure of dealing with some of that with some of my children. Listen to these statistics. The American Justice Department bullying statistics show that one out of every four kids will be bullied throughout their adolescence. Three of four children will experience serious bullying at least once. There are 160,000 kids who stay home from school each day because of the fear of bullying. Half of teen suicides are precipitated by bullying. And as if it's not enough to deal with a bully at school, then you have to go home sometimes and you deal with a bully at home. It's unfortunate. People work with bullies on their jobs. There are bullies among our neighbors. Unfortunately, there are bullies in the church. There are bullies that inhabit every sphere of our lives. Bullying is defined as the use of threats or coercion to intimidate other people. It is the activity of repeated aggressive behavior intended to hurt another person, either physically or emotionally. Bullying can include verbal harassment. It can include threats. It can include physical assaults or the use of intimidation to force someone into doing your will. And so bullying is characterized by someone trying to gain power over others. Strange as it might seem, the actual word itself, bully, it actually first appeared in 1530 from an old Dutch word that meant beloved or brother. The meaning certainly has degenerated over time to mean a loud, swaggering person, a ruffian, one who manipulates others by using threats and intimidation. What are the characteristics? There are some defining characteristics of a bully. One is that they lack empathy for other people. They just don't have any empathy for others. They feel the need to control other people. They are very, 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 very easily angered. They habitually remind others of their weaknesses. They mock and denigrate those who do not meet to his or her expectations. They feed on the fear of others. They use shame and physical aggression to intimidate and control. And they also defy any who would challenge his or her power. And so then maybe we ask this question, well, who can be a bully? They come in all shapes, sizes, colors, ages. They come in all backgrounds. They are children, husbands, fathers, their wives, there's mothers, there's elderly people, disabled folks, rich, poor, intelligent, uneducated, teens, preachers, elders, teachers, can all be bullies. They're small-minded. They're evil-hearted. Most of the time, they are sociopathic people who want the power to control those who live around them. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to tell you who the ultimate bully is, because there's a parallel in what we're going to be talking about tonight and who the ultimate bully is. Because the way that this bully is defeated in our sermon tonight is the same way that the ultimate bully in your life, whose name is Satan, is defeated. You see, from fear to anger to temptation to lust, he runs through the gamut of evil tactics to get us to bend to his twisted will and to sin. He is a bully. But yet, his target is your mind. His weapon is lies. His purpose is to make you ignorant of God's will, but yet your defense is the inspired word of God. And I will tell you also that if there are bullies in your life, including Satan, so let's just include him because he's the ultimate bully, they don't have to be tolerated. They do not have to be tolerated. Most of them are cowards. They don't have to have their way. In spite of their threats, they can be overcome by people who are willing to stand up for what is right. And that brings us to the bully tonight. And his name is Goliath of Gath. Goliath of Gath. He bullied God's people. If you had asked Israel about Goliath, they would have said, oh, this is a hopeless situation. We can't do anything with him. Look at him. Look how big he is. If you had asked King Saul, he would have said, there is nothing that can be done. We just have to live with this. Nothing can be done. But if you had asked David, David would have said, Goliath is a bully. And God is about to deal with him. So having said that, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. That means they were arranging to fight here. Verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was a Philistine. The Philistines were of the Canaanite tribes left over from Israel's conquest of the Promised Land. These people were a very powerful people. They were a warlike people. They were known for their expert skill in metalworking. They worshipped the fish god Dagon. He was a pagan idol worshiper. He was the enemy of Israel and God. And we see here in verse number 4, what does it tell us about him? His height was 6 cubits and a span. Goliath, the name Goliath means splendor. And what they say that 6 cubits and a span was, is that he was between 9 feet 6 and 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was a big man. Yeah. He was intimidating. There's no doubt about it. We find that we are told now in verses 4 through 7, or 5 through 7, he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. He wore copper-based armor that covered his body, constructed from overlapping metal plates that actually resembled the scales of fish. The armor weighed 5,000 shekels, and that's about 200 pounds. with greaves and back shield. His armor weighed about 273 pounds. The Bible tells us that his spear is compared to a weaver's beam. That's what a weaver's beam is. Which means it was 26 feet long. The head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is about 24 pounds. So all total, it weighed about 37 and a half pounds. It's really interesting. There were some people who determined that they were going to put together, based on that information, a spear like that. That's what they came up with. It's incredible that somebody could even manipulate something like that. So then we go to verses 8 through 10. 1 Samuel 17, Goliath stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? In other words, why are you prepared to fight? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And then we go to verse 16 and notice what was going on here. It says that the Philistine drew near morning and evening and he presented himself 40 days. This wasn't just a one-time thing. He was there in the morning to mock them. He was there in the evening to mock them. And he did that for 40 days. That's about a month and a half. Don't you think they got tired of that? Don't you think they got tired of that? He mocks them. He calls them cowards. He demands that they send out a soldier to meet him. And he did this twice every day for 40 days. Uh-oh, I don't know what that is. Any idea? Press okay. I'm trying to, and it ain't wanting to press. Well, I can go on without this. It's not a problem. Unless you want to come fix it. Anybody got a PowerPoint? Yeah, I'm trying. That's not doing it either. So. There we go. See, you got up here and it finished. Perfect. Just stay on the front row. It may happen again. And so then we go into verse number 11. Here he is. Looked like everyone was terrified of this giant. So we see 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. And they were greatly afraid. And then we come down and here's David. Verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, and all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, for they were sore afraid. And then we go to verse 25. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And so Israel sees this bully as an opponent. They see him as a threat to their nation, to their peace, to their prosperity, and to their happiness. Now let's go back. Remember who I told you the ultimate bully was? You may have literal bullies in your life, but Satan, being the ultimate bully, is always there. And when we are afraid or when we are threatened, we do just like they did. We circle the wagons and we think only about how, if you will, the unpleasant events of the moment are affecting us. And we turn our focus inward and we miss the bigger picture that we find in Romans 8:31 that says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? They missed that, didn't they? They just missed that picture. No matter how much pain your bully causes you, no matter how much pain Satan sends into your life, It's not going to destroy you. You find in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has overtaken you. But such as is common to man, God's faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape so that you might be able to bear it. Verses 25 and 26. Again, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to devour Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Some saw this bully as an opportunity. The king offered a reward. The man that kills this bully, he will get lots of money. He will marry the princess. He will no longer have to pay taxes. But you know what David saw it as? David saw it as an opportunity to be of service to God. That's what he saw it as. How is he described? Look at 31. This is how the bully is described, or defeated rather. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. How is this bully defeated? How is Satan the bully defeated? Well, the first thing we find here with David is that this bully is defeated by courage. In David's mind, this is a fixed fight. This fight's already over with. It wouldn't have mattered if Goliath was 20 feet tall and had six arms. He didn't care. Because God was with him. It will not be easy to face the bullies in our lives either. It's not easy to face Satan every day with his temptations either, and the things he tries to bully us into. But we need to remember some things that I think a lot of times we forget. For instance, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord has promised to be with you. He said, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He has promised to see you through. In Isaiah 43, 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I am thy Savior. He has promised to protect us. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, Isaiah 54 and 17. And here's a real simple verse that when we are faced with temptation from the bully, that's the ultimate bully, that we just forget. And it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord has promised to strengthen me. He has promised to give me victory. In Romans 8 and 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And He prepares us to handle our bullies. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. David could have looked at this man and he could have been just like everybody else. He could have been fearful. He could have moved on. But David had great courage. This bully is defeated by courage. And then we go to verses 38 through 40. Saul armed David with his armor, And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Courage is number one. You want to defeat the bullies in your life. You want to defeat Satan. It's going to take courage. And number two, it's going to take conviction. Conviction. And that's what David had. Saul was a foot taller than anyone else in Israel. His armor wasn't suited for David. David was a shepherd, and he was accustomed to the tools of the shepherd. And what this shows us is that God can use us and our abilities just exactly the way we are. We don't need other gifts. We don't need other tools to win our battles against Satan or against the bullies in our lives. We may be weak in our view, but we are strong from Christ's perspective. We need not to continue to remember how maybe weak we are, or how we can't do this, or how we can't do that. You know, there are some compelling scriptures in the Bible. Some that you can just sit and just think about for a long time. And this is one, if you don't remember anything else I've told you tonight, remember this scripture. We need to forget about what we've done. And we need to think not about what we cannot do. We need to place our faith in the God who can. Ephesians 3:20, speaking of God, this is a compelling verse. He, God, is able to do above and beyond anything you can ever ask Him to do. Now, you just let that sit for a minute. God is able to do above and beyond anything we can ever even think about. Think about that for a while. God is able to do above and beyond anything we can ever even imagine. Who could imagine such a victory as what is coming up? But it is because of conviction. It is because of courage. And now I want you to go to verses 41 through 54. And we'll just go ahead and read this out of the Bible. Beginning in 41. And here's the battle. And just put yourself in the place of this small shepherd boy and this gigantic man. In verse 41, the Philistine came on and he drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He laughed at him. He made fun of him. He belittled him. For he was but a youth, and he was ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hands time out. Do you honestly think in his entire life, Goliath's, anyone had ever talked to him that way? Not on your life. No way. Now notice what happens in the next verse. 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. What did David do? It says he hasted. He was in a hurry to get to the battle, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slung it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And David, notice what else? He's already dead now. David ran and stood on top of him. He's standing on these people's champion. David ran and he stood on top of him. And he took his sword, Goliath's sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They left. The men of Israel, verse 52, and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherim, even unto Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. They spoiled their tents. And David took Goliath's head, the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. He had courage. He had conviction. And when he's running after telling Goliath, God is going to deal with you, he not only had courage and conviction, he had confidence. And that's how you beat Satan, the bully, in your life. You have to have courage. You have to have conviction. You have to have confidence. You think about the fact is when this man who had probably never been talked to, especially by a kid. I mean, look, all of the armies are around seeing this. You think he's getting angry? He's probably getting pretty angry being talked to like a kid, by a kid like that. And what happens? He runs to meet him. And he defeats him. And he stands on top of him. And he cuts his head off with his own sword. That is confidence. What was it when it's all said and done that made this victory possible? What was it? It wasn't about his ability with a slingshot. It wasn't about his skill as a warrior. He was but a youth. The secret to David's success and Goliath's death all came down to one word. Faith. That's what it was. He had faith. He had courage. He had conviction. He had confidence. The secret came down to faith. David believed God, and God gave David the victory. And it worked for David. And it'll work for you and I too. Faith is victory. Bullies in your life? Satan in your life? You have the courage to stand up. Have the conviction. Have the confidence to do what's right. So the question of the evening would be, what are you going to do about your own oppressors? Are you going to hide in your house and let bullies hold you hostage? I'll tell you right now, some of the things that go on in our homes, the things we let come in on the television set or on the internet or things we listen to, things we read, Satan, he don't have to do much bullying. He's already there. It's not hard to get him. You know, he's got us. We have to realize that we can't continue to be held hostage by this bully, by Satan, by sin. If you do, then you let him stand between you and all of the wonderful opportunities that God has for you. Or are you going to stand up to all of these oppressors, Satan and anybody else that opposes the Word of God, just exactly like David did, with faith in the power of God, trusting Him to give you the victory? That decision's yours. God gives you that choice. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. You know, I heard somebody say a long time ago that every time an invitation is given, there are three things that happen. The Lord votes for you, the devil votes against you, and you're the one that casts the deciding vote. And that is so true. We have decisions to make each and every day. If there are people here this evening who know the truth, who understand the Word of God, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why have you not been baptized if you've not been? Why would you not want to be? Time moves on. Each and every second, we get closer to seeing our Lord and Savior face to face. Or perhaps you have obeyed the gospel through baptism for the remission of your sins, but you've gone back in the way of the world. And Satan's bullying you around. He can, you know, the Lord told Peter, he said, Satan's have you, he will sift you like wheat whenever he wants to. Is that the way we are? It doesn't have to be that way. It's up to us. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's the Lord's invitation. And we pray tonight, if you're subject to His gracious invitation, you'll come forward while we stand and while we sing.